Thank you, Lord. Are you well this morning? God is good, amen? I'm sorry, I was distracted. I'm just thinking of John. This morning had an Apostle Paul-like moment outside. I told him there's this giant bee's nest, which some of the boys tried to handle last week in the wheel well of the church van. They came back, Caleb. They rebuilt all week long, and it's back in full. So I just casually mentioned to John, somebody's got to take care of this at some point. So then I see him out there with a towel. I'm thinking later on we go back tonight with some spray, you know, empty a whole can into it. He just takes a beach towel or something and just takes the whole thing by hand, tosses it into the woods. He only got stung one time and it did not harm him. Just like Paul, right, with the snake? Praise God. Wonderful Jesus. Well, you know, I always like to share a little bit on giving, and I can share till I'm blue in the face on giving, and not everyone understands and doesn't have quite the impact that a personal testimony has. And so I want to have, where's Fonz? There he is. Fonz, come on up, brother. I love when people reach out to me. I don't have to try and pry people, and they have a testimony they're willing and excited to share. So, Fonz, take your liberty in this topic.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I wanted to share my testimony I had with tithing. I had heard about it many a times in the beginning of my walk and stuff, and I didn't tithe, to be honest with you, I didn't. So one day I was at work, and this was fairly almost towards like the end of winter. I was at work, and I had got tithing placed on my mind, and I didn't know why I was thinking about it. I was working hard. I didn't know where this thought had came from. So to be honest, I just kind of blocked it out. I was more focused on trying to get done with work and what I had to get done. I blocked it out. So a couple of months went by and everything, and Pastor Chris comes up and shares about tithing. So it was actually in April. He had came up and he had shared about the tithing, and when he did, it had weighed on my heart heavy. And I had heard the message before, and it didn't do that, but this time it really, like, weighed on me. And I went home, and I was thinking about it and thinking about it. And for the rest of that whole week, it kind of was just weighing on me and weighing on me. So that Saturday, me and my wife was going up to Liberty to do a class with a group up there. And this gentleman walked up to me, and he asked me how to accept Jesus Christ into his life. And I began sharing with him. I told him many things. And when I said one thing to him, it made me almost like freeze. I had a moment right in there. And what I told him was is that he had to give 100% of himself to the Lord and to fully trust in what the Lord says he would do for him. And when I said that, it was like the Lord had spoke to me in that moment and said, what I was sharing with this gentleman, I myself wasn't doing. And I've given everything to the Lord, but I was not tithing. And I knew that was what it was. I knew it. So I left up there, and I came home, and I told my wife, I said, I have to start tithing. I have to do it. So I went on the website, the Kingsfire website. I set it all up, and I was excited for it. And so I didn't want to do it for the Sunday. I did it on Saturday. I didn't set it up for the next day, which is Sunday, for the tithe. I waited for the following Thursday because I didn't want to start tithing the wrong way. I didn't want it to be money I already had put first on something else. I wanted the Lord to get the first of my fruit. And so I did that. I was excited. I was counting the days down and counting them down. So when it finally happened, I felt free of the feeling I was feeling before I was tithing. And I knew that's why the Lord had placed it on my heart and in my mind, because it had the importance of it. That following Monday, after starting to tithe that Thursday, my wife had called me, and she had told me that we had got blessed with a $500 bonus check. So I was like, man, that's amazing. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. But I didn't start to tithe. When I made the decision, tithing is a choice. It's a decision. And I didn't do it to receive nothing back or for extra blessings. If I get extra blessings, I will take them. I did it to be in the obedience of the word of God. And I didn't want to just say I trusted him. I wanted him to know I do trust him, to show my actions of tithing, to show him that I fully trust in him 100%. And the other thing I want to say, too, is I did it for, because when I was lost and I was sinning, I tithed to the enemy faithfully. I tithed to him triple the amount of the 10%. So I just figured, how could I not possibly tithe to Jesus Christ after all the good things he has done in my life? Amen.
Appreciate that, brother.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you, Fonz. We don't preach any prosperity gospel, so don't start this week and think you're gonna have $500 or whatever show up in your bank account. But the Bible is clear that where your heart is, that's where your treasure is, right? I could look at any of our bank accounts and quickly figure out what you like to do, where you like to eat. As a part of my 9-to-5 job in the world, we subpoena a lot of bank accounts. And I can very quickly tell where somebody will be on a certain time and day, likely. You can see a pattern to people's lives. You can see where their heart is based on where they spend, right? And so we can argue about whether tithing is for the Old Testament or New Testament, whether it's part of the law or not. Regardless of what you feel about that, we're in a relationship with him. When you get married, most people unite their bank accounts. They open up a joint account. I know some people don't do that. Maybe you can explain to me how that works, but I haven't quite figured out how that works. But would you not share an account with your spouse that once you've joined together your hearts, you're not also going to join together money? The same is with our God. He wants all of us, just as Fonz explained, not to hold anything back from him. He doesn't ask for too much. I love the part that you added in, that how often do we sow to the world and to even to the enemy before we knew him? An incredible amount, right? He just asks for this little tithe, this little 10th% back. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace, Lord. Lord, as we continue and just share the word, Father, we just pray, Lord, that people will just walk out changed, Father, by not by me, Father, but what you have to say through your word and your spirit, Lord Jesus. Change hearts this morning. Change minds, Lord. Bring revelation. Bring just newness, Father God. Father, you're a God who is good. We sang about you this morning that you're worthy of our praise, Lord. You're high above all else. You're our Savior. You're our King. Lord, without you, where would we be? We love you so much. In Jesus' name. So if you are wondering how you can give, as Fonz mentioned, go into our website. There's a little black box at the back. You can drop something in there. Pastor Josh is out on vacation this week, praise God, so I'm filling in. Happy to do so. What I want to talk about this morning is a couple different points, but the first point that we have to establish is, who is God? If we can't clearly define who God is, what his role is in our lives, we really can't go anywhere else, right? In our Sunday school, it's the first lesson that we have with our children is each unit has a different big picture question, we call it. And it's small questions that have a big answer, though, and have an important answer that they need to be able to defend their faith and answer when people ask. Praise God. Many of our kids are in public school, and they openly share. And whatever projects they do, they'll often pick people from the Bible to write reports on, to share about in class. And when questions come up, they have to be able to defend their faith, just like the word says, amen? And so one of those, that first big question, big picture question is, who is God? And if I were to ask some people on the spot, I may not get great answers back, right? But a simple answer is this: he's our creator and he's our king. Simple, right? Two things. Our Creator and our King. If there's not that order to that, then everything else is kind of going to be out of order. He's our Creator, right? The created us cannot be greater than the Creator. I have four children, so I explain this often to my kids, that we're not equals. Like, the parents are supposed to be in charge of the children. Society is, the world has flipped this on its head in many households, where the children are in charge of what is going to happen for the day, of what they're going to do, what they're going to eat, what they're going to do on their iPad. Fill in the blank, you know what I'm saying, right? Childology is a real thing. It used to be easy for when the kids were young to, my wife and I would sneak out. We're in, you know, close driving distance to either Mickey's Igloo 3 or to Sawyer's Ice Cream to dip out quickly around 8 o'clock or so. They stay open till 9 and come back without any of the children knowing that we got, you know, some soft serve on the side without them. But now the kids stay up a little bit later. They hear the doors open. They hear the car. That's much harder to do. Sometimes I avoid the whole discussion, the confrontation, that's not fair. Other times, though, I just put this into place that, hey, we're the ones in charge here. If we want to go get ice cream and you're not going to, then that's just how it's going to be, folks. He's our King as well, though, right? Not just our Creator. We could go into a whole message about him being our Creator and how we're not formed from evolution and all that, but I'm not going to go into that today. But he's our King as well. That means ultimately he's in charge. He's given us an outline on how to live our lives, on how to be a part of his kingdom, be a part of ministries, to have the gifts that we can have that he's given to us. He's given us boundaries and commandments for how to live our lives, right? He's in charge. But we're actually in control for the most part, right? A tall Englishman that started our church, he used to say that all the time, that he's in charge, but we're in control. Meaning, for the most part, whatever we choose to do, that's what is going to be done. Now, God can intervene. He can change people's courses, change people's paths. We're going to get into some of that. But if you want to go down and walk down neighborhood road down the middle of it, feel free. I mean, you can do that. It's probably not a great idea. But is God going to intervene and pull you to the shoulder? Probably not. He could. He's God. He can do what he wants. But for the most part, we're in control of what we do, right? And so currently, I know not here, but we're living in a world where people believe that they're their own God. Or they have something else, some idol that they've made their own God, right? They know what's best. Their way is better than anyone else's. Their wisdom is better. They have their own truth, right? We could talk a whole lot about that. Everyone has their own truth, what they believe to be true for themselves. And it's nothing new. It's not something new to 2020, 2023. It's been happening since Adam and Eve sinned, right? Just them sinning in the garden is them saying, no, actually, we know better than what God told us. We're doing this our own way. And there's many stories in the Bible where people went their own way and did what they thought was right in their own eyes, right? If you're familiar with the story of Job, the suffering that he was handed, I guess you could say, that was allowed to happen to him. Towards the end of that book, it's a long, fairly long book of the Bible, 30-plus chapters, he starts really lamenting, and he's really kind of going for God, like, why did you put this on me? What's wrong with you? How did you let this happen? I was a guy who was worshiping you. I was following you. What's going on? And God puts him in his place. He gives quite a heavy response, and we also talked about this downstairs recently with the children, which why it's been on my heart. This is here's the response that God gives in Job 38:3. I'm just going to give you a paragraph full of verses because it's an entire, essentially, rebuke from God to Job. And it's just good to remind ourselves of our place in his kingdom because we can easily, as I'm going to talk about soon, even set ourselves in a higher place than we should be. So Job 38:3 says this, now prepare yourself like a man. That's a strong statement that God starts out with, right? If God all of a sudden gets your attention, says, now, listen to this like a man, Job. I will question you, and you will answer me. You ever have somebody tell you that they'll ask the questions? Me too. When were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the cloud its garment and thick darkness in its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors? When I said, this far may you come, but no farther? And here your proud waves must stop. Have you commanded this morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? And it goes on. I could continue reading for quite a bit. I don't know about you, but I'd be quite quiet after that, after God told me that. Because it puts us in a different position, doesn't it? We can often think pretty highly of ourselves, and that we've got everything in control, we've got everything in hand. But God can come back with a reminder that, especially when a big storm comes along, and there's nothing that you can do about it, the power is out. Think of the ice storm that we had some years ago, right? Brutal, like days without power. And this is a good reminder that at the end of the day, we're subject to what is happening on the earth here, right? And what God has put into motion. And so our Sunday school, as I mentioned, we recently started the curriculum over. We started from the beginning, from creation again. And actually, we're going through, today's lesson is going to be where the Israelites are receiving manna from heaven, praise God. And they've just entered the promised land. And we're going through all these Old Testament accounts in the Bible. I don't like to call them stories because that makes it sound like it didn't happen or wasn't true. They're accounts, they're real things that happened. And I'm just reminded that it's an encouragement. It's also disappointing, I guess, on some level, but it's encouraging more than disappointing that families in the early days were just a mess as they are now. There's incredible dysfunction in the early families represented in the Bible. There's no great example of a family that you can really hang your hat on. And we just think about Adam and Eve. Obviously, they sinned in the garden, and then one of their sons kills the other, right? Cain and Abel. We have Noah, who saves his entire family, the animals from the flood. But if you read the very end of that portion of Genesis, what happens to him in the end? He ends up being a drunk. His sons have to carry him around because he's always just a mess. Abraham and Sarah, they were given an incredible promise by God, right, to father the nations, that their descendants would number the stars in the sky. And instead of waiting for God to work out the details of that promise, they take it upon themselves to start making that happen, right? He sleeps with his servant and doesn't wait for God to make a way. You've got Jacob and Esau, brothers, right? Jacob swindles the blessing from his brother with the help of his mom, nonetheless. They trick his blind father into blessing him instead of his brother, right? This is all within families who God trusted with promises and to work out things on his behalf. And so it's encouraging because it means that he can use all of us, right? If he can use all those folks, and I don't think most of us have done sin like that. Sin is sin nonetheless. It doesn't really matter what level it is. But nonetheless, it's encouraging that if he can use all this ragtag group of folks in the Old Testament, how much more us, right? He can use us immensely, incredibly. And so don't ever count yourself out because you think you're not qualified. If you believe, you said yes to him, you are qualified. His promises are true for you as well. And so sin, I just laid out a few sins, right, in these few passages, these chapters of the Old Testament, is essentially just rebellion against God, right? Thinking that we know more, that our ways are better, we're just going to go against and disobey what God said. That's essentially a basic sin definition. And I feel this next part that I want to share, if you tune out to everything I've said so far, going to tune out to everything after, this piece is, I really feel like it's going to help somebody. It's going to set somebody free. It's going to break some fear, break some anxiety, depression. I tell this to my, I often teach classes to new employees at work, and it's often after lunch. So you know what happens when you're trying to speak to a group of people after lunch, especially in a somewhat warm room. People are quick to nod off, and it's not like a very exciting topic like the Word of God. So I just always tell them, listen, if there's a couple topics like right here, like if you can just get these two things, you can kind of tune out the rest, because these are where people tend to be in our office about later on. So the same is true for this portion. Who has a phone? Let's see him. Nearly everyone, right? Some people are having a hard time pulling them out. Praise God, they put them away. I think I see pretty much everyone, except maybe a couple of the younger ones at the back. Praise God. It's not so much a phone, right? More than it is basically a small computer in your pocket at this point. I don't know too many people that use it for a lot of phone calls these days. If you can, side note, if you can keep one of these out of your children's hand as long as possible, I truly believe you'll be better for it, and so will they. There's a campaign the world actually has that I learned about recently. It's called Wait Till 8th. So that's the whole thing. They want to wait until 8th grade before they hand over, before the parents finally succumb and give their kid a phone. If you have given one, I trust that you are all over it with some kind of monitoring software and keeping track of what's happening. Because if you're not, it's scary. It's an incredible technology and convenience, though, that it's given us, hasn't it? As much as it can be a distraction, it's an incredible tool for a lot of things. Everybody has the Bible app, right? We can pull up things instantly in different translations and different concordances on the spot. You can check email. You can surf the web. You can ask Google whatever question you want, and it comes back with at least some kind of answer. Whether it's the right answer, who knows? But it's what somebody put out there. And as great as it is, and this is the piece, it's given us a godlike ability. It's given us the ability to know in real time about nearly every tragedy, disaster, storm, shooting, stabbing, act of violence, theft, protest, crime, fill in the blank. We could keep going, right? Every bad circumstance on the world that prior to us having these and the technology that the world's created, only God could know about all that. But now we have the ability to know about every single one of those things in real time, sometimes even live. And what good has that done us for the most part? To our spirit, to our emotions, to our minds. We don't have the emotional capacity to handle all that. You could open up whatever you use, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, just some news app, and you will not see much in the way of good news. You will see every tragedy I just named, right? You'll see all those because that's what sells. That's what gets clicks. That's what gets attention. Some people will leave this Fox or CNN, MSNBC on in their house like all day long. And it's just bad story after bad story, right? There's a sowing that's happening to our spirit when all that's taken in. So we might have the ability to know about all that stuff, but we don't have the capacity, right? There's a difference there between ability and capacity. We can know about all that, but we don't have the capacity for it. God has that capacity. Don't you ever wonder as a kid or even now how God handles all the prayers of his people, of his believers? Does it come in like that on some kind of feed he's watching? Probably not. He's God. He just knows, right? He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. But now we have that almost godlike ability to know about all those things. And I'm not strong enough to know about all that stuff. I can't handle going into deep dives about every single topic like that that comes up on a daily basis. You ever watch Unsolved Mysteries? I did as a kid. I don't know what happened or why I was watching it. I used to watch that sometimes, and then the other one, the 911 show. Those shows messed me up as a kid for a while. Like, it was hard to get to sleep at night. I don't know if it was Robert Stack or that music or everything just seemed to be filmed very dark. And the worst part was these were all unsolved things. It left you wondering, well, is this person going to be found? Is how'd the crop circles happen? This guy's out on the loose somewhere that did all these horrible things, you know? As a child, you're left wondering, there's no resolution here. At least with some shows, there's some resolution, right? So the same is true with what we're listening to, what we're watching, what we're reading, what comes across our eyes, which are our windows, right? Faith comes by hearing. We know that's true in the Word, right? Also comes by reading. Comes by watching. As I mentioned before, a tall Englishman who founded our church used to say this too. Faith and fear have the same definition. You're believing for something that's going to happen that hasn't happened yet. That's faith. How many have something they're believing for that hasn't happened yet, that hasn't come to pass, but they're believing it's going to happen, right? We all have something. Fear has the same definition. You believe that something is going to happen that hasn't happened yet, and you believe it may. It all depends where we put it, that, right? And I know this ability is not something we're supposed to be a part of or supposed to have, even though it's out there. And I know that because if you just look in the beginning, right? In the beginning, God's original intention was for Adam and Eve to only know good. The only thing he asked them was, you can eat from any tree in this garden, but do not eat from this one tree, which is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He did not want them to have any knowledge or even understand what evil was. So he certainly doesn't want us 24/7 just soaking up all the evil that's in the world, right? We've got to be in his word and see his promises and see what he has to say. There can also be, no one here, of course, but people in the world, there's an arrogance that they feel like they want to know everything. They want to know about everything that's going on. Ever meet someone like this? They have to have all the answers or be in the know of everything that's going on. Maybe there's a few people that can handle knowing about every tragedy and disaster. Maybe they have a special call in their lives to intercede in prayer for those people, but I don't believe most of us do. Judges 21:25 says this, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. How true is that still for us today? As I mentioned in the beginning, he's our creator and he's our king, but if you don't believe that he's your king, then you have no king. And when you don't have any king, what's it say? Everyone just does what's right in his own eyes. That's a scary place to be, and that's what people are absolutely doing. Well, I believe this is what's right, so this is what I'm going to do. Let's go to Genesis 11 because this is a perfect example of man doing what's right in his own eyes, God having enough and actually putting a stop to it. This is the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. You have to put this into some context. This is after the flood. Quite some time after the flood, I believe. There's a lot more people on the earth now. And it says this, now the whole earth had one language and speech, and one speech. Did you know that? Isn't that incredible that before what's going to happen here, everybody had the same language? It must have made things a lot easier. Spanish-ish? Is that what it was? And it came to pass, as they journeyed from east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said this to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. You're going to see a theme throughout this that says, let us. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But now the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they began to do now. Nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad all over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Did you catch the theme there? They become kind of in a self-preservation mode, right? Probably for good reason. After the flood, they were worried maybe God could do that again. A city that they wanted to build brings some security, because the cities back then had walls all around it. They could have some protection for themselves. But everything became an inward focus, right? According to us, let us make bricks. Let's build ourselves a city. Let us make a name for ourselves. And the Lord thought this was going to be so egregious that if they do this, then there's nothing else that's going to stop them. They'll be able to do whatever they want. So he confuses them, right? And so we've got to be careful about what we're doing. Are we including God in our plans? Are we focused on doing something because it's going to benefit us, or is it going to benefit his kingdom and his name? Are we putting him higher than all other things? Now, there's some people that believe that this wasn't an arrogant type tower that they were going to build, that they actually wanted to build a tower to be closer to God, or so that he could come down and descend to them. Regardless, the Lord didn't like what they were doing, and he put a stop to it. And sometimes we can just get so quick to do something, to make a decision about something, right, instead of consulting our God first, spending some time in the Word, spending some time in prayer, and asking, maybe even asking somebody else, a pastor, a leader, someone more senior than us, hey, what do you think about this? I'm tasked with these two different options. I have a decision to make. What do you think I should do? Seeking God on it, right? Oftentimes, he can really clearly answer our question if we spend the time with him. We can quiet ourselves down enough and stop looking at all the crazy stuff that's happening out there. And we'll hear from him, amen? But there's some good news to all this, right? I don't want to leave you that there's no hope in all this. There's good news. Justin, are you still up there? Maybe you could just, I know this is impromptu, but just put the homepage of the website up there. If you hadn't noticed, we did a website redo recently. It's still kind of a work in progress, but there is good news, and that's one of the things that we put on the homepage. We made it very outward focused, you know, thinking of, we're really, none of you probably went on the website because you're already here, but for people who are visiting, that's probably the first place they go. And we wanted to have like a very outward focus. You know, what does someone looking for a church want to see first? And so I'll take credit. I came up with that. Finally, some good news. Because there's a bunch of news out there, as we just mentioned, right? That's not good. And this is a place where you can hear some good news. And so that's what people want to hear. Often in the world, and maybe in the workplace or just out in general, people, what are they talking about? They're talking about all the miserable stuff that's happened. We've got people who bring light to these conversations and say, yeah, that may be happening, but have you heard some good news recently? There's a God who loves you, and who you can place your burdens upon him, and you can cast your cares upon him, right? Because his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And the world is just the opposite. That's why he makes that mention in the Word. Now, as I mentioned, there's probably a few people can handle learning about every tragedy that happens, learning about every bad thing that's out there, and they can intercede, they can pray, they can be someone who's in the know about these things, and maybe it doesn't affect them. And that's fine. If that's you, then can carry on. It's not me. it's probably not most of us, but there probably are a few people who can kind of shake that off after they've come to knowing about certain things. I'm not saying that we should be uninformed. That's also a dangerous place to be. I'm not saying that we should just be ignorant of everything that's going on. We shouldn't have our heads in the sand about topics that are going on in the world, because there's some things that we do need to know. We do need to know what's happening, you know, in our governments and our local legislators especially, and what's happening in our circles. We don't want to be a people who are just out in a cloud somewhere either. There's sometimes maybe once a week, just check out some headlines is what I do. You know, like just see what headlines are out there a couple times a week, so you kind of have an idea of what's happening. But going down in the weeds and these rabbit holes of reading an entire article and the details of this and that is just, it's not helpful for our spirit and for our souls. Amen. Look around the room, folks. We're a church of, we got a lot of people on vacation, but when everyone's here, we're a church of, you know, 200, 250, sometimes more than that, especially if we're out in a special tent meeting. That is plenty to know about. If you concern yourself with the people that are in this room, plus your family, your friends that aren't here, that is plenty to be concerned about. Like, in a room this size with this many folks here, there is already plenty, as a pastor I can tell you, there is already plenty of tragedy and disaster, sickness, things that have happened just in this room. And that's what we're really called to be, right? A local church who takes care of one another, who is concerned about the things of the local church. Yeah, we can know about the things that are on the outside, but our focus is supposed to be right here within the people that are in this room. And so surround yourself with a circle and see how you can, you know, come alongside some people and support them and pray for them and agree with them for what they're believing for what they're going through. There's plenty to be concerned about. Knowing about all the negative stuff that's out there besides anxiety, depression, it breeds fear, right? As we mentioned before, the Bible says, which I'm pretty sure it says hundreds of times, do not be afraid. This must have been an issue back then with people hearing things, or even God, you know, often before he encountered them, he would say, do not be afraid, right? He's a God who loves us, and he puts all this out there in his words for us to know so that we can live the best life here that we can, and we can follow him with our whole heart and not be distracted by the things of this earth that just take away. So many things just distract. Even before I came up here, there's a couple of things that just tried to distract. And we just have to understand there's some things that only he can work out. There's things that, yeah, we can work out. There's plenty of examples of people working things out in the word on their own. And there's steps of faith that we need to take. There's actions that we absolutely need to take. There's things that we need to do. The Sunday school downstairs is not going to teach itself. The bagels downstairs are not going to cut themselves. You know, the ushers back there are not going to, they're not robots. It's just not going to happen on its own, right? There's things that people need to do. The sound team, Justin up there, he can't just have a thought and it's going to be done, right? He has to do it manually. There's things that need to be done, and there's steps of faith that we need to take, but there's also only things that God can do, right? We talked in our Sunday school last week about the Red Sea crossing. That was an example, a great example of something only God's going to do. Moses is not going to do that himself. He did follow the plan that he had, though. God gave him a specific instruction of what to do. He followed it. So there's obedience there. We need to be a people who are obedient. We also have to understand that there's certain things that only God can handle, and only he is going to intervene and act on our behalf. So let's put him in his proper place. Amen. There's only things that he can work out. He's omniscient. He's a God that knows all things, past, present, and future. He's a source of all of our knowledge. He knows about all the potential that could happen in a situation or a circumstance. He's not surprised by anything. He's not shocked by anything. Isn't that an awesome thing? We're surprised and shocked by so many things. But he's not. He's not thrown off course by anything that happens. Even when sin happens in the Bible, right? What's the first thing he says? He gives the first prophecy. He's not thrown off course. He says, I'm going to send somebody, and Satan's head is going to be crushed. His heel will be bruised, but Satan's head is ultimately going to be crushed. He wasn't thrown off. Think about him in the storm while he's in the boat sleeping, right? He's like, what are you guys doing? You guys couldn't handle this one on your own? He's like, all right, let me take care of this, right? So he knows all things. He is all things. He's everywhere at all times. And we just, I don't know about you, but I'm just scratching the surface of what that means and how to comprehend that. But we just have to trust and believe that he is, right? The other part of what these wonderful tools have given to us is you can ask, as I mentioned, you can ask Google a question. Anybody played around with that chat GPT? You can ask AI a question. And it, you know, it's scanned the entire web, so it pulls some kind of answer out. And people are finding that there's a lot of initial excitement about it, but people are finding that it's often not quite the right answer, or it's not quite right. Some attorney decided they would base an entire court argument based on what this chat said, and turns out it kind of just made up some stuff. And the judge wasn't happy about that, and he tossed a whole lot of stuff out. So the internet is not the knowledge. It's useful for a lot of things. If you have a quick question that doesn't have too much weight to it, you can ask the internet a question. But if you have a serious question to ask that you're looking for an answer for, we've got to turn to the Word. We've got to turn to somebody senior for us. We can't trust. Unfortunately, we can't even trust some article that a believer wrote because we don't know where they're coming from or what they interpreted differently maybe. We've got to go directly to the Word, right? Or someone that you trust knows the Word if you even have trouble finding the answer there. We can pray and ask God the question. He can give us a download and a revelation of what the answer is. Because he knows all things, and he is all things. Why don't we just stand this morning? Father, we stand in your presence this morning, Father, just believing and understanding, Lord, that you are our creator, you are our king. Lord, you've placed us here on this earth. The word is clear that, Lord, before we were any idea of our parents, Lord, you had us in mind. You know us inside and out. The Bible is clear that you even know the number of hairs upon our head. Father, there's no one that knows us quite like you do. Father, you know our fears, our anxieties, our struggles, Father. You know our victories, Lord Jesus. You know our strengths, Lord Jesus. Father, help us to know you even more than we do now, Lord Jesus. Help us to place you in your rightful place, Lord Jesus. You're not just a better version of a human, though, Lord. You are a God. And Lord, we at times aren't even sure what that looks like, Lord, but we know that you're far greater than us. We remember what you told Job, Lord. We are responsible for none of what we are standing on here this morning, Lord Jesus. It was your idea. It was your work, Lord, that put this all here. Father, we acknowledge that your ways are better than our ways. That, Lord, we've missed things. We haven't always gone the right way. Lord, but we acknowledge that you are perfect. You don't make mistakes. Everyone that's here has value, has purpose, has meaning, has a calling, Lord Jesus. There's no one here this morning by mistake. Lord, that you love your people, those that are here and those that are not, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to truly be your hands and your feet, your voice, Lord, your ears. We know that you can hear all things and that you know all things, Lord, but you've also placed your Holy Spirit, Lord, within us to do the work of your ministry, Lord, while we're here on this earth, Lord Jesus. So help us to be in tune, Lord, with the cares that people are casting out, Lord, that we can pick up with our ears, Lord Jesus. That we can pick up, Lord, on someone's eyes and the way that they look, Lord, that see that something is just not quite right, Lord. And we can intervene, Lord, as you would if you were here, Lord, because you know that you dwell within us, Lord, those who believe. Father, we thank you that we can look to you as our strong tower, as our strength, Lord. We can come to you, Lord, and ask questions, Lord, and receive revelation, receive answers, Lord, through your word, through your still small voice. That still speaks to us, Lord, in 2023. That's not, Lord, we thank you that you're a God who's alive. We're not worshiping some stone idol, some thing, Lord, that was crafted by man, Lord, but you're a God who is real, who is alive, who is breathing, Lord, who is active, Lord Jesus. Lord, when you hear our prayers, Lord, you do something about what's said, Lord Jesus. Father, we also want to be a people who have a healthy fear of who you are, Lord Jesus. Not a fear that cowers, Lord, but is in the back of our minds, Lord, that you are in charge, Lord Jesus. That you will come back to this earth and place your 2 feet upon here, Lord Jesus. And we want to be a people who are doing the right stuff, who are acting the way that you would be proud of, Lord. And so it help us to have that healthy understanding of our place in your kingdom, Lord, that we are not greater than you, we are beneath you, Lord Jesus. We are the created, Lord, not the creator. Father, just as children look to their parents, Lord, and should have respect for them, Lord, we want to be a people who respect, Lord, and have a rightful place in our hearts for you, Jesus. Father, we love you. Lord, we just thank you that you're ministering to those this morning, Father, who need ministry, Lord. Lord, we thank you as we go about our week, Lord, that we would just, Lord, just be in tune with your Holy Spirit. You called him, Lord, the helper, Lord. He's here to help us. He's here to help others, Lord Jesus. Father, we just want to be a people who, when we get to be in your presence, Lord, that you say, well done, good and faithful servant, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you've placed us in a local church, that you've placed people around us that we are supposed to be supporting, to be encouraging, to be lifting up one another, Lord Jesus. To be a people, Lord, who can be a shoulder to cry on, Lord, but also lift people up out of muck and out of mud, Lord, and just take them to a higher new place, Lord Jesus. Father, we can break bread together and share meals with, Lord, and commune with one another, Lord, from house to house. And we thank you, Lord, that that's a reality, Lord, for 2023. It's not an old-time, Old Testament thing, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've placed these people around us, and Lord, that we're to care for them. We're to minister to one another, Jesus. So, Father, maybe there's someone, Lord, that throughout this week we need to text, we need to call, we need to stop by and just say, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? Father, bring these people to mind, to our spirits, Lord, as we just go about our week and go about the rest of our days. Lord, we thank you for all the people who are not here this morning, who are going to come next week, who maybe are even now just watching online or are going to find our website during the week, are going to be looking for some good news, Father. We want to be a people who share that good news, Lord, and have understanding of what that gospel message is and what it looks like and what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you that you keep us, that you protect us, that you go with us, Father, wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.